So 15 miles from the world's shortest river on the Oregon coast lies the world's smallest navigable harbor. And it used to be even smaller. Till it was expanded 45 years ago, its rocky twisting entrance was just 30 feet wide. Talking about Depot Bay. My name's Finn J.D. John. I write a weekly newspaper column. Runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now. It's called Offbeat Oregon History. Right now I'm reading you an archive column, which was published in the newspapers on December 20th, 2010. Depot Bay is quite possibly the Oregon coast's most photographed town, and it is a place of picturesque extremes. In addition to being the world's smallest navigable harbor, with roughly 1,400 residents, it's one of the smallest hamlets on the coast. Yet during the summer, there are probably more tourists per square foot in Depot Bay than any other coastal town. If you're a local and you've seen it in the summer and the winter, you know there's an amazing difference. With a municipal tax base of $0, it has the smallest municipal tax base in the state as well. An honor it shares with a number of other towns, but so far as I've been able to learn, none with four-digit populations. Depot Bay's tax base was frozen at $0 by ballot measure 50 in 1997. With its famous spouting horn, Depot Bay actually has what may be the closest thing Oregon has to a geyser. The last real geyser in Lakeview, Old Perpetual, stopped spouting in 2009. The spouting horn is a 2-foot-wide underwater cave that channels incoming breakers straight up and sometimes in especially heavy surf can soak the sidewalk on Highway 101. It's for that very reason that the developers of the town once came within a cat's whisker of having the horn filled in with cement. A move that would surely have gone down in history as one of the dumbest moves in the history of tourism. By the way, I'd better give a little shout out to Mickey Hot Springs in eastern Oregon at this point. That's probably the real closest thing we've got to a geyser, but it only goes up by maybe a foot or so. It hardly counts. But it is there. Depot Bay is one of the coast's youngest towns, having only gotten started in 1927 when the highway and bridge were built, and lacking a post office until 28. Yet until 1998, it was home to the oldest privately owned aquarium in the U.S. This aquarium was opened the same year as the highway, and in more ways than one, it was inspired by the road. Generally, it was inspired by the tourists the road was starting to bring to the formerly isolated hamlet, and specifically, it was inspired by a group of tourists who had stopped their cars and gathered around a dead octopus by the roadside. Town co-founder Harvey Collins saw the commercial possibilities of popular curiosity about marine life, and later that year, the first aquarium in Oregon was open for business. And business was good. It was good for years. The aquarium acquired an enviable reputation as a place to go to see harbor seals and sea lions doing tricks, and to gawk at octopi, often donated by Depot Bay fishermen who'd hauled them in as bycatch, and to learn about the latest crop of wildlife that had been brought in to be rehabilitated. Still, no private facility dating back to 1927 was going to compete with the Marco Hatfield Marine Science Center and Oregon Coast Aquarium, which was built in 1992 just a dozen miles north in Newport, with the full support and expertise of Oregon State University behind it. And that was especially true a few years later when Keiko, the orca star of the movie Free Willy, took up residence there. To make matters worse, the aquarium's star, a seal named Oscar, had died of old age at 37, just a few years before. By 1998, 10 years after Oscar's death, the owners threw in the towel and closed the doors. The animals, there were only three left by then, two sea lions and a harbor seal, the animals found new homes, two at a children's zoo in Indiana and one at SeaWorld in San Diego. Today, the building that once housed the aquarium is the Silver Heron Art Gallery, a high-end gallery with a piano bar and wine salon upstairs, which benefits greatly from the generous space and natural light that were necessary for the animals and exhibits at the old aquarium. Among some hardy locals, though, it's not so much animals or art or any of that other tourism-related stuff that Depot Bay is best known for. There are people who listen for gale warnings, and when an especially gnarly weather system is just about to pounce, hightail it to Depot Bay, park along the seawall, open a thermos of coffee, and wait. With its massive rocks, close-in seawall parking, and dramatic spouting horn, Depot Bay is one of the best places in the state for winter storm watching, especially if you don't mind getting wet. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History archive column. If you'd like more, there are hundreds of columns going back to 2008 on our website at offbeatoregon.com. You can also subscribe to receive these podcasts or their written equivalents and have them delivered directly to your smartphone via RSS or iTunes. If you're interested in history geekery, be sure to check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds as well. If you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of Dutch Bros or some other historical Oregon drink, come look me up. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. All my stuff is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. That means if you want to broadcast anything on your radio show, reprint anything in your blog or book project, or use any Offbeat Oregon anything in any way, commercial or not, go for it. Some restrictions apply. Google Creative Commons 3.0 and it'll give you all the details. Have a great day.